Every now and then, we have to mix things up just to keep everyone on their toes, and this week seems like the perfect time to do just that. There is no long-winded, verbose introduction to this week's episode trying to get you to guess the year the album came out, because there is no album. How's that for meta? Speaking of meta, how about we turn this show on its head and, as the Joker said in Dark Knight, introduce a little anarchy into the system? This is what happens when Chris decides to take a vacation. So camp away, Chris, and sleep easy. Hopefully I won't scare everyone away in your absence. Today, on Two Dudes and Tunes. Welcome to Two Dudes and Tunes, the podcast where usually two dudes talk about tunes and why we love them. I'm your host today, Wood Johnson. My usual partner in crime, Chris Robinson, is out this week pondering the many perplexities of life, love, and the universe, all while taking a well-deserved week off with Megan camping in New Mexico. You know, usually we would forgo a week because we generally keep a couple episodes in our backlog and can make up for a missed night here and there. But Chris and I have some pretty cool stuff planned for this Christmas time and really don't want to fall behind and eat into that backlog any, so I decided that we would have an episode without him for the first time ever. That said, we have to do something a little different. Nobody wants to hear me talk for a whole hour, so I decided that Two Dudes and Tunes for the first time ever would have a guest host on the show, and it's a dudette. So for the first time ever, Two Dudes and Tunes isn't Two Dudes and Tunes, which is kind of fun in its own kind of weird anarchy type way. It's not just any dudette either, guys. Let me tell you the truth. It's my main dudette, the one that I think is the coolest, my wife, Tiffany. So Tiffany, how's it going today?
Good. It's going good. I'm excited.
Are you now? You don't seem it. There was a really long pause there. Like I'm dragging you into this.
No, I'm excited.
Yeah? What's exciting going on in the household today?
Well, I'm not sure if we can necessarily consider it exciting, but Maverick got sick for the first time at 10 months old.
At 1 in the morning last night, by the way, folks.
Yes. Woke us up throwing up all over the dog.
All over me. Let's correct that. There was a second shower last night.
Yeah, I had to change my clothes 3 times, so whatever. But so it's just mostly taking care of him.
Yeah.
And then this week was my first week as part-time at my job. So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah. A little bit more time to hang out around the house.
One more day.
Yeah. Well, hey, other interesting things that happened this week. Chris and I really like really off-kilter early 2000s comedies. And Tiffany is historically the person who's never seen any of the movies that I think are interesting or cinematic masterpieces. And this week I made her sit down and watch Hot Rod, starring Andy Samberg and most of the characters from SNL in the early 2000s. You have to admit, that's like a phenomenal movie.
I guess it depends on what you consider phenomenal.
But. It's absolutely perfect as a film. Mm. The other one we made you watch and you absolutely refused to finish and went to bed was Nacho Libre. Why'd you quit?
Because we have a 10-month-old and I was exhausted.
But Nacho Libre. I guess with that kind of all said and wrapped up, let's talk a little bit about what is going on with this week's episode. Why is this one so different and why did the intro kind of foreshadow it? We didn't do an album review this week. Instead, we decided that we would create playlists for each other based on a specific topic. And the two of us kind of went and locked our way in our own little dungeons and created the perfect playlist for the other person based around a topic that I assigned. That assignment was songs that ruined relationships. So here are the ground rules that were initially given out. You had to create a top 10 list of songs and we will count them down in reverse and talk about each song as we're going, 10 through one. And, we'll talk about why that's good or why it's not good or what's up with that song or why it would make your list. So making playlists about breakup songs was really interesting for me because you and I have been married for 7 years. And when I told my parents that this is what we were doing last night, and then I told your mom last night too, she was like, oh my goodness, no.
Well, it's probably more true to form to our relationship than love songs, let's be honest, but...
She's always threatening to leave me, guys.
Quite the opposite. No, I just thought it would be something fun, and, you know, I won't be like, who's that song about? Who is she?
What's her name?
You just didn't want me picking love songs about my dogs, that's all it is.
Well... We went all kind of all over the place. We thought about limiting it to just country music. We thought about limiting it to Disney songs because there's a lot of interesting Disney breakup songs that are pretty gross. But at the end of the day, we decided to leave it just the gloves off and let's go for it. So there were no real rules to that portion of it until we get later on in our list where there is a couple of bones of contention. What? One of the rules that we did have when we were making the lists was no duplicate songs on either person's list because we don't want to just agree. So the point of that is the person who ranked a song higher on their list ended up getting it on their list. I may have cheated on that a little bit
emotional
at one point.
Emotional manipulation.
Emotional manipulation, folks. You heard it here first. I admit it. But anyhow, so with that kind of said, I think that you and I should dive into our playlists and start talking about them, and we'll see where we end up. And for you guys listening in the show notes, we've created these playlists in Spotify, and we'll make them available in the show notes so you can listen to kind of where our heads are as we're going through this as well. Tiffany's really messed up, y'all. Get ready for it.
Girl power.
All right, Tiffany, so songs to ruin relationships or songs about bad relationships, we couldn't really settle on the exact terminology. At first, it was breakup songs, but that was kind of lame. So bad relationship songs definitely seems like a better topic for us. Number 10 for you, what was it?
So I picked Leave, Get Out by JoJo. So this is a little bit of an older song. The reason it actually came back on my radar is she released a new single called Chill, Stay In during the pandemic. Same melodies, just different words. So the song kind of came back on my radar. The reason it's so low on my list is it's kind of weird in that she was 13 years old when she released the song.
Talk about a lot of life experience, y'all.
Yeah. Honestly, I was trying to figure out what year it was released. I was probably about 13 years old when this song was released. But it's catchy, and I would rather this than like a Woe Is Me song about a boy cheating on her and being so sad. I don't know. It's a good girl power anthem.
Yeah, kind of kick him to the curb, girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So for my number 10, first off, when I went through and created my playlist, the 10 song rule was really kind of difficult for me to play by at first. And I had about 68 songs on my playlist, and some of them were rank. So getting it down to 10 was really interesting for me. But number 10 is Foreigner's classic Cold as Ice, because everybody knows the line, "You're as cold as ice, girl. You're willing to sacrifice our love." So everybody loves it. There's a huge synth pad in that song that's a lot of fun. You don't really think of it as a breakup song at first or a bad relationship song, but it is definitely the worst when you read the lyrics. How about you for number 9?
Say My Name by Destiny Child. You told me this song doesn't actually count, but considering the drama that's about to ensue with your number 1 song, I no longer trust anything you have to say about my list.
Whatever.
I consider this like a gotcha song. Basically, for anyone who hasn't heard it, she challenges her boyfriend, you know, say my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prove that
say my name, say my name.
Exactly. Prove that, you know, you're not with someone else. So continue with my kind of theme of girl power anthems. It's, you know, just a fun song.
Okay. For me, my number 9 is I'm Not the Only One by Sam Smith. And for me, that song is really kind of cool. Most Chris and I on this podcast, for the most part, focus on classic rock and music from the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s. This song, I believe, came out in 2017, which is kind of recent to have around, but you say I'm crazy, but I'm not the only one. And it's just it's a great song about a relationship that's fractured in a way that just can't be fixed. And he's telling her to beat the streets. So for number eight, what do you got for me?
Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie. This is like a different take on the songs to woo in a relationship. It's kind of fits into the whole trope of right guy, wrong time.
Is there a right guy and a wrong time, though?
Of course.
Like, how does that work? If he's right, he's right.
No. Hey, can you imagine if we tried dating in high school?
No, and I would not have been the right guy at that time.
Exactly. So, but yeah, it's a powerful song. I like it.
Okay. So for me, I mean, that's a good track, don't get me wrong, but I think my number eight is superior, and that's What Goes Around Comes Around by Mr. Timberlake himself. That's one of those songs that they overplayed on the radio. It was on all the time, but everybody knows it, and it's pretty brutal.
You got me there, but I think my number seven has you beat. Survivor by Destiny Child. Girl power while staying classy.
I don't know about that. It's classy, yeah, but if your lips are moving, then your Lie, Lie, Lying by Meghan Trainor definitely takes that out. And this is another recent song that I just really like because it's catchy. It's got a hook. It's got this thing going for it that I think is just powerful in general, but it's super repetitive, so you could get like really into it just instantly.
Well, my number six is Lips of an Angel by Hinder. So
I don't think I'm even familiar with that song, so what's the deal with it?
So basically, the guy answers the phone. It's someone from his past, you know, lost love. Basically. But if he gets caught, that's totally going to ruin the relationship he's in now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's interesting because it probably would lead right into my number six song, which is Bad Blood by Mason Lee. And that's another one. I feel like most of my breakup songs have come out since we got married. So are you worried or?
Probably sounds like I should be.
And I noticed after putting this list together, there's a lot of really young female angst in here. So I'm worried about myself as a man here lately. I mean, we've got a few more to go, and there's a couple more that I'm like,
Well, you know.
How about you? What was your number five track?
So I'm going back to middle school angst and Gives You Hell by All American Rejects.
That song was actually on the radio today. I was driving back in a rainstorm and it came on one of the local rock stations. I was like, oh, we're going to have to talk about this tonight.
Well, this song is just so much fun. So for some background on the song, I got some quotes from two of the writers. Wheeler, who's one of the writers of the song, said we wanted the backing vocalist to sound like a bunch of drunk holes. So we had the crew and us drink a beer for every take and yelled the chorus into a microphone. We got so drunk, we were overthinking it. And the other writer of this song stated, this song is about an asshole. It's a dude who will never know it's about him. It's kind of this tongue-in-cheek way of looking at someone you hate, whether it's your mom for some reason, or it's your teacher at school, or it's your boss at work. It's just someone who makes you struggle, and it's giving them the finger. And I think I need to edit this because of the cussing.
I'm just going to bleep it out, so you're fine. No, I think that's interesting. You know, All American Rejects are one of those groups that they were really big for a while there in the, you know, mid to late 2000s. They kind of dropped off and then have seen a resurgence, kind of like some of the other groups that Chris and I have talked about here recently on the show. And I think part of it is just kind of the nostalgia for when we were younger and angrier about more things than we are nowadays. And I think that's something that's kind of coming through as a society. So for me, my number five song is NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye. It's another Justin Timberlake entry, and I felt kind of cheap including two entries from the same artist. In fact, I agonized over it a little bit with another artist that I pulled off the list for being a duplicate. But this song was one of those songs that I remember when it first came out in 2000. I would have been 12 years old. It was on their No Strings Attached album. And I remember hearing it for the first time in a single wide mobile home that my grandparents owned on a lake outside of Marble Falls, Texas. And just being mesmerized by the, it's not syncopation, but definitely like the beat that the song had and then the way that the guy's voices all kind of fell in line. This album won Record of the Year, It was nominated for Record of the Year and lost to U2's Beautiful Day album, which clearly Beautiful Day needed to be the winner there. But I just think it's interesting that it was nominated for Album of the Year and it was a boy band that honestly, musically speaking, wasn't the greatest thing going on in music in the year 2000, but they were definitely entertaining. So number four for you, Tiffany, what do we got for number four? We're getting closer to number one here.
So I have Take a Bow by Rihanna. So the reason I put this one as number four was the digs are top notch on the song. So going back to the lyrics, she, you know, is throwing his clothes out on the front lawn. She's yelling about how he's ugly when he cries and how he deserves a round of applause for his acting. It's just the digs are just top notch. And it's also, once again, my girl power. She's kicking him to the curb. She's like, yeah, no, bye.
Yeah, this is one of those songs that it was released in 2008 as a part of Rihanna's Good Girl Gone Bad album, and then also remixed on Good Girl Gone Bad Reloaded, which came out exactly a year later, which is kind of crazy that we'll drop an album and then 12 months later we'll drop the remix and, you know, get more revenue off of it. The song itself, though, received really mixed reviews, which I thought was funny. A lot of people thought it was very cliche and kind of lame, but that didn't stop it from getting to number one on the Billboard Hot 100, where it stayed for something like 52 weeks. And the single itself sold 267,000 copies. So a lot of people definitely felt for it the same way you did. All right, so let's see what my number four is. Oh, yeah. I'd kind of forgotten that this made the list until I listened to it earlier today. And I was like, oh, shoot, I'm going to have to come real with our audience here. And Chris is going to give me all sorts of noise about it probably at the end of the day. But number four for me is We Are Never Getting Back Together by Taylor Swift. You heard it now. I'm an official out of the closet Swiftie, y'all. And I think this song is just a lot of fun. It's country adjacent, which is probably being kind to it. It's more of a traditional pop song with more country instrumentation. But there's just something about that song that just has so much finality and we're done. You know, we are never getting back together ever. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm just kind of sad that I did not put Taylor Swift on my list. I'm still a little bit the angst of the lack of country on my list, but it is a fun song.
Yeah. Came out in 2012 on her album Red, and was released by the Big Machine label that she's worked with over the years. And this one was a huge hit with 14-year-old girls everywhere. So it obviously is perfect. It also got a 4.5 out of 5 on the Billboard star rating. So very well reviewed and liked. AV Club commented that it was a very, very good song with a thumping kick drum, clipped syncopation, and mildly snarky lyrics. I don't think the lyrics are mildly snarky at all. Oh, okay. So we're up to number three, right?
So my number three is Truth Hurts by Lizzo.
I'm 100% that bee.
So this song was 2 years old before it climbed the charts. It was featured in the Netflix movie Someone Great in a scene where the actress is singing and dancing to the song post-breakup. If you haven't seen this movie, then go to YouTube and watch just this scene. It perfectly shows why the song is so great. I even have a wine glass that says like 100% that witch that I got on a Halloween themed bachelorette party in Denver for one of my best friends. And we basically did just blast Lizzo and we enact that scene like the whole weekend. But it's just, it's such a fun song.
Very cool. Well, I think it's a great song. It was one of the songs that made both of our lists originally. Tiffany ranked it higher, and I did the honorable thing and knocked it off my list entirely, only to stab her in the back in a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we'll get there. For me, my number three song is a song that Tiffany was like, oh my gosh, you're not putting that on your list because it's depressing. And we've had a lot of talks on the show in the past about content that's depressing or whatever, and it seems like my top three are all kind of borderline depressing songs. They're all interesting in their own way. For me, number three is Brad Paisley and Alison Krauss's Whiskey Lullaby. Chris and I have talked about Brad Paisley several times. Chris famously forgets his name every time we bring him up for his guitar playing, and we have to stop the podcast and bring it back around to looking up his name. And Chris always refers to him as, you know, the guy in the Nationwide commercials with Peyton. He's a phenomenal guitar player, and this song, I think, is absolutely phenomenal in general. It's a very interesting story about two people who both love each other and hate each other to the very end and end up singing the Whiskey Lullaby, which is an old country saying for drinking themselves to death, basically. This song was actually inspired by the co-writer of it with Brad Paisley. The guy's name is John Randall, and he had just gone through a divorce with Lori Morgan and wrote this song with Brad Paisley to encapsulate all of his feelings. And it ended up being a mega hit for both Brad Paisley and Alison Krauss. Originally, though, as an interesting aside, Brad Paisley wanted Dolly Parton to be the duet.
Well, you always have to have the queen.
So. Exactly. The music video for it, by the way, since I like bringing up music videos, is absolutely incredible. It's set in World War II era, middle of America. It begins with a bus of war veterans still hearing the sound of explosions in the background. And so you get this deeper picture of both characters through the imagery of the video, more so than just their broken love story. So that was my number three. So let's talk number two songs, Tiffany, on the playlist of bad relationships for you. What was your number two song?
So what I picked for number two was I Write Sins, Not Tragedies by Panic at the Disco. So what brought this song up was I Do Walk Out. It's surprising, I know, but this song is on repeat at the gym I go to. Mm-hmm. And I go to classes, so we have a coach who walks around, talks and stuff. And he's the other week, he was wandering around going, I hope this is a clean version. And of course it wasn't, which made, you know, walking out really fun. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of interested on what they had done to make this clean, because I've only...
This is one of the most famous radio edits in history.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Everybody knows. Not everybody knows this.
Oh, I'm nobody?
No, you're my wife. You're not nobody.
I'm going to sit here and cry now. Whatever. I was so proud of myself. I researched and I found out what they did. No, I'm not going to tell you. No, you already know, apparently.
No, I do, but I want you to know.
But for all the
nobodies out there.
For the other people who did not know, and for people who have not heard this song before, it has the lyrics, the poor groom's bride is a whore. And haven't you people ever heard of closing a door? What they did was they changed whore with a shh sound and removing God from God, which is, you know, makes that pretty simple. The other thing I kind of wondered about with the song is, like, where did this name come from? Where did this title come from? Because it's not mentioned in the song at all. So the title of the song, while not mentioned in lyrics, refers to Douglas Coupland's novel Shampoo Planet, wherein the main character, Tyler Johnson, says, "I am writing a list of tragic character flaws on my dollar bills with a felt pen. I am thinking of the people in my universe and distilling for each of these people the one flaw in their character that will be their downfall, the flaw that will be their undoing."
I can't just leave alone the fact that this song falls in the genre of Baroque pop, which is probably the most weird subgenre. Like, they give it a cello and all of a sudden it's Baroque pop.
But who introduced me to Panic at the Disco?
Your loving spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, future spouse. We weren't married yet.
I don't think we were engaged
when I introduced you to Panic at the Disco.
I feel like it was just like 2 years ago.
Nah. The album is A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, for those who are interesting. And I just love that album. So there you go. It didn't make the main list for the show, so it won't be canon, but it's still fun. Oh, my bad. All right. So let's talk about my number two. Tiffany, I've got a little something to tell you. I've flip-flopped on my number one and two today while I was talking to one of my coworkers.
Guilty conscience.
No, not at all. Not a guilty conscience at all, because you were going to rate it way lower anyway. Garth Brooks, The Thunder Rolls. And I have one simple reason. For anybody who hasn't heard it, it's one of those Garth Brooks songs that I bought the album on vinyl just for the song. I didn't care about anything else on this album. This came out in 94, I believe, 93 or 94. And I would have been 5 or 6 years old. So this really impressionable age. And one of the greatest movies ever made, one of the greatest chick flicks ever made, is a movie called Sleepless in Seattle with Tom Hanks. And there's a scene in it about the little boy who's like 5 or 6 years old watching the movie Fatal Attraction and going, "Dad, I've seen Fatal Attraction. I know how it works." And Tom Hanks yells back at him about, "Every man in America has seen Fatal Attraction. It scared the crap out of him." Well, this music video, this song, is my version of Fatal Attraction. It paints the picture of a guy who's coming home from a seedy hotel where he's obviously been laying in bed with somebody else, and he's got lipstick on his collar, and the song talks about it's 3:30 in the morning, and he's coming away, coming from somewhere he never should have been. His wife is waiting at home nervously, anxiously, all the lights in the house lit up, and there's rain coming down, and the music video is just, for an early 1990s country music videos, it is phenomenally well produced. It was shot in Nashville, and the guy who plays the husband is actually Garth Brooks with a fake mustache, which I think is really funny. Like a 1970s style mustache. And he gets home and she goes berserk on him and then pulls a Smith and Wesson, and the music video ends with ambulances out front and it's rolling away slowly with the lights on, but there's no siren, and she's being carted out to the cop car, and the thunder rolls is all that's happening.
So correct me if I'm wrong, and I may be misremembering, but isn't there, not on the music video, but if you go to his canon, there's one more verse to that song.
There is, and it is probably the greatest verse that isn't radio safe ever, and it's a lot of fun. He actually, funny side story. So Tiffany and I went and saw Garth Brooks on tour in 2016, and he was performing at the AT&T Center, the soon to be renamed AT&T Center here in San Antonio. And he was doing like a doubleheader night. And I don't know if you remember, it was like freezing cold outside, and we were at the late show, and his first show went like 2 hours long. And so we were standing in line, and it was just absolutely miserable. And we're like right there next to the metal detectors trying to get in. They finally let everybody out, and Garth Brooks came into the stadium, let us in, and the second show began, and he made this promise that they would be there as long as the energy stayed up. And he played literally like every song that he had ever recorded and released. He played for, I think from the time he started to the time he finished, it was about 6.5, 7 hours later that he finally left the stage. It was so much music that they had played that the band ran out of stuff that they knew how to do. And he was playing stuff solo and bringing individuals up to do different things. And it was just really, really cool. But they played this song and did the third verse. And I was surprised how few of the people in the audience actually could sing along with it. Because a Garth Brooks concert, folks, is a sing-along concert. Everybody's singing every song, including Friends in Low Places, which is actually probably the greatest song that didn't make this list. But it's too much of a good time to be about bad relationships. He escaped. He's raising a toast to them because they both suck, and that's great for him. All right.
I would also like to point out that this is not faring well for you. I'm liking, you know, power anthems about strong women, and you're liking songs about the woman
dead husbands.
Dead yeah. husbands. So this is not faring well for you.
Let's move on to the big one, the big cheese, number one. And I've got to be honest, audience. I knew Tiffany's number one song the moment that we settled on a topic, and I even told her it would be her number one, and she said, "Nah, I don't think so." And then what happened when you finalized your list? Who knows his wife just a little bit.
Whatever.
Hey, for background, we just had a baby about 10 months ago, and her entire pregnancy was basically COVID lockdown. And I swear this song was probably on repeat the entire pregnancy. I don't know what I did to offend her, but you know.
So my number one song is Burn by Lin-Manuel Miranda in Hamilton, sung by Philippa Sue.
So why is this song so important to you? What makes this song the number one bad relationship song?
I don't know. It's a beautiful song. I love her voice. Lin-Manuel Miranda can do no wrong. But I also can just really relate to it because anyone who's been to our house sees the 5 million gazillion scrapbooks I have. And half of them are filled with love letters written by you when we first were dating that are non-existent now, but, you know, babies. So I have, like, all these letters that you wrote me, even, like, on scrap pieces of paper, on envelopes, stuff like that. And I can remember when we first got married, going back and rereading them, you know, reminding myself, like, you know, why am I doing this? So her going through and burning all his letters, it's just such a powerful scene in this play. For anyone who hasn't seen Hamilton, number one, go see it. Number two, she is literally sitting there burning pieces of paper during this scene while singing. And I may have my trivia wrong, but from what I could tell per the internet, she is literally burning handwritten copies of Hamilton's letters on quick burn paper.
That makes sense. And for people who haven't watched it, she's the angry spouse who's just been cheated on. And you and I have had a couple talks on this. I actually finished reading Ron Chernow's biography that the Hamilton musical is based off of. And I thought it was kind of interesting how Hamilton took some creative liberties with kind of the timeline for Alexander Hamilton's life. So in the musical, it looks like it all came out at one moment and she found out through the press release that he gave or the dossier that he sent out with all of his admissions of guilt about having the affair. But in reality, that all seems to have come out a bunch of years after the fact, and he had already admitted to it years before to Eliza, his wife. So she was aware of it before it became public knowledge. But that didn't work for the drama of the play, so they redid a bunch of that and made it all seem like it coincided together. But it is a powerful song. It is a wonderfully performed song, and I think it's definitely worthy of being number one for bad relationships on your list. So now, let's talk about number one on my list, which gave both of us a little bit of heartburn. Mainly because when we first started, you and I have talked about this song for years because I'm an idiot and I thought it meant something totally different until about 2 years ago. Because I just, whatever. And Tiffany set me right and I was like, oh, that totally changes the meaning of this song, whatever. And so the song, to get rid of all the weirdness here, is He Stopped Loving Her Today by George Jones. And why are you so upset at me,
Tiffany? You told me this song didn't count.
Why did I say that?
I don't know, because you're a man. I said it
because he was dead, remember?
Well, that kind of ruined the relationship, you know.
This came out in 1980 on George Jones' A Hard Act to Follow album. And I'm dumb. I always thought the whole hanged a wreath upon his door metaphor was more about him just moving on and doing whatever. And I didn't realize that, hey, when you die in the Deep South, like the former Confederate South, you hang a wreath on somebody's door when they're dead. And so...
So sad.
It is a very sad song, but I think it's interesting from a ruined relationship standpoint that there is a verse in there about her seeing him off one more time. So there is some sort of pseudo reconciliation there, even though he's not there to experience it any at the time. This was George Jones' first number one single after a 6-year dry spell. He'd released 4 or 5 albums in that time and hadn't made number one with a single. And he managed to pump those numbers up with this. And this stayed on the charts for a long time. It was written by Bobby Braddock and Curly Putman, who are both songwriters that we've talked about before. They were part of the Nashville elite for songwriting back in the 60s and 70s. And it just, it has a fun melody. It's great fun. Chris Christopherson has cited it as being one of the greatest songs ever written. And it's just generally, considered one of the great anthems of country music. And it really bolstered George Jones' career and gave him till the end of his career, something to ride on. So just kind of cool. So that's both of our top 10 playlists. Of the top 10 playlists, what's your least favorite track?
Of mine or yours?
Off of any of them. I mean, we got 20 songs here to pick. What was your favorite and least favorite? You're like, burn, duh, and anything from your list, loser.
Basically. I hate Whiskey Lullaby. It's...
My number 3 song she hates.
I do.
You don't love me anymore.
It's just, I'm like, why? Why?
It is so Shakespearean in its nature. Like, it is borderline Romeo and Juliet, except she doesn't so wake stupid. Back up and kill herself again.
Yeah. They were dumb to kill themselves. Like, no man is worth that. Listen to Lizzo and go on with your life.
I guess that's fair enough. I think for me, if I have to pick a song that I don't like from your list that I don't think fits really well, I don't really see Gives You Hell as a really bad relationship song. And that's partially just because of the energy that it has. Like, it seems more like a, I don't know, just a... It is a bad relationship song, don't get me wrong, but it just seems like it's more of a, I'm done with you and I'm doing my own thing and I don't care what happens to you and moving on kind of thing. So it's, I think we had two different mindsets, and I think it would be good to understand to you, now that we've laid out both of our lists, what is it that makes a bad relationship song? What are the elements you're looking for?
Definitely the ending of a relationship. Whether that be such, you know, as, hold on, I'll go back to my list. Big Girls Don't Cry, where she's like, you know, I gotta let you go. I need to take care of myself. oh, like on your list, he stopped loving her today. Well, he did.
Yeah.
So,
you know. Relationship over. I think, though, the worst relationships are probably the relationships that you still have to deal with after the fact. So you think back to, like, the weirdest breakups or the weirdest things that have ever happened in society, and those people have to live with each other, like, in some level or some way. And so bad relationships have bad feelings that carry on for forever and kind of seethe into whatever. So, like, the We Are Never Getting Back Together by Taylor Swift is one of those songs where they're both still out there. The relationship may be over, but they're still talking to each other, and it is never going to happen again. I think that's something that makes for an interesting intrigue in relationships. Going back to the list for a moment, do you have any honorable mentions that didn't make your list but you thought were interesting?
I have a few. If You Met Me First by Eric Erwidge, once again, going back to the trope of, you know, what could have been, basically a song about a guy going, if you met me first, you know, mm-hmm. things would be different. Say Something by A Great Big World.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Way You Lie by Eminem and Rihanna. I seem to have a...
That's like a less deathy whiskey lullaby. So... They're basically the same song.
Whatever. When I Was Your Man by Bruno Mars.
Okay.
And Too Good at Goodbyes by Sam Smith.
I picked the superior Sam Smith song for my list, so that's all good. Yeah. I'm not the only one, but that is a good honorable mention. For me, the first song that I played as a joke when we named this list was I Pray For You by Jason and the Long Road to Love. Or sorry, Jerron and the Long Road to Love, which is a fun country song about, you know, if you got nothing nice to say, you need to pray for them. And I pray you run off a ditch and all that kind of stuff, you know, just praying for bad things to happen to somebody. As I started creating the list, I was really in kind of like a jokey mood. And so Carly Simon's You're So Vain was on my mind. Like, that seemed like a fun one. Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats, I figured would be on your list, so I was surprised it didn't make it. You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette, which is a song that is very interesting and also came out when we were in high school. And then the two that I was really surprised didn't even approach my mind until I was preparing for tonight's episode, but was thinking about the recording tonight, was All My Exes Live in Texas by Two Dudes and Tunes alum George Strait, and then the Garth Brooks song Friends in Low Places, which for probably 15 years has been my go-to anthem at karaoke bars.
Which is why we never go to karaoke bars.
Exactly. I embarrass Tiffany. The tearaway pants are probably too much for the karaoke bar anyway. I think we should probably leave it there. Speaking of songs to ruin relationships, tearaway pants at karaoke bars are definitely the way to go.
Hey, that guy did buy you a drink, though. So you know.
Whatever. Yeah. All right. So. Oh, man, Tiffany, I have had a great time talking with you tonight about our playlists. To the audience, again, thank you for indulging us in going kind of off the beaten path and doing something a little bit different, more relaxed and conversational. I hope you had a good time getting to hear Tiffany, who puts up with so much of my just idiosyncratic like behaviors and whatever. She rolls her eyes. Come on, that's not good podcasting. But thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to go ahead and close the show out and let people have their lives back. And hopefully we haven't scared anybody away, like we said before. So since we don't have Chris here with us tonight to get the Oracle out and figure out what's going on.
I get to pick?
No. I pre-recorded it with him last week.
That's hateful.
It is, kind of. So we're going to get in our DeLorean and we're going to go back to last week and see what the Oracle has in store for us next week right now.
You don't let me drive anyway.
Great Scott!
We have one more thing we've got to do. Let's hit up the Oracle for a cookie. But actually, why don't you take this? Because we're going to do something different, right? We're calling an audible.
We're calling an audible. We're calling an audible because the Oracle called me and said, I'm going on vacation next week. Don't call me unless somebody died. So instead of throwing the dart at our lists and making a guess at what we should play instead of getting a cookie, we happened to notice that John Mayer, one of our mutually beloved artists, has a new album coming out tomorrow morning as of this recording called Sob Rock. And we're going to give that a listen next week and talk about it, kind of like we did back towards the beginning of the show when we did a Foo Fighters album. So hopefully we have a better time than we did with the Foo Fighters album.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Foos. I still love them, but it was not my favorite. I'm sure this will be better because I've already gotten to listen to a few of the singles and love them. So
it'll great.
Be interesting to hear the whole thing all together.
Well, folks, again, thank you for having some fun with us this week on Two Dudes and Tunes. Again, thank you to Tiffany for joining us and for creating her playlist on songs to ruin relationships. Thank you so much for this. I hope you've been enjoying our show. Please rate it and review it on your podcatcher of choice. We have a commitment to read your ratings and reviews on air when they come in. If you want to get in touch with us, shoot us an email at twodudesandtunes@gmail.com. And don't forget to hit us up on Instagram or Facebook. Tell us what you thought about our experimental format for this week and our topic, bad relationship songs. And don't forget to tune in next Wednesday when Chris and I tell gravity to stay the hell away from me while we review an album the Los Angeles Times called A Love Letter to Yacht Rock. We'll see you next week. Stopping recording.